Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 186 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, listen, I had planned to keep this one light. I really did. I found a funny story about money. I wanted to talk about that and just move on. But, you know, you can't do it. You can't do it because we're killing each other. We're shooting each other. We're killing each other and on and on. So let me just get into it. First, by now, this is old news, the congressional shooting. As you know, some congressmen were at baseball practice and a gunman showed up, pulled out a rifle, started shooting. Listen, it's sad that Steve Scalise, a congressman from Louisiana, is in critical condition. It's even more sad that the Capitol police officer got shot because he was just doing his job. I'm going to be honest with you. I got no sympathy here. I got none. You know why? Because the day of this baseball game, Congress was going to vote on legalizing silencers. You know why? You know why they need to legalize silencers? To protect the hearing of the frequent shooters. You see, they don't even try with good bullshit anymore. I mean, they used to respect us enough to come up with a lie. How the hell do you want to legalize silencers for guns? Are you out of your minds? So no, I don't feel bad for this Congress. These are the same Republicans who have no problem with assault weapons. As far as they're concerned, white men should be able to pick up assault weapons or any other weapon they want at Walmart when they're stopping in for milk. Walmart, hell, 7-Eleven, the gas station. Can we get the guns easier to buy as long as you're a white male? That's a very important caveat to the deal. But so this is not surprising. Okay, to quote Jeremiah Wright, who they loved Wright. You remember him? He was the evil pastor that helped Barack Obama. To quote Jeremiah Wright, the chickens have come home to roost. You can't keep legalizing guns and talking about guns and the right to have guns and shoot and blah, 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 and not get shot. You know why? Because God has a tremendous sense of humor. That's why. Now, there's nothing more to be added to this. Of course, after the shooting, they found out the guy who did the shooting was a Bernie supporter. So the poor, suffering Republicans came out against the violent left. Yeah, the left is very violent. The left had all those speeches and rallies to endorse violence. Oh, wait, those were Trump rallies that endorsed violence. Those were Republicans who brought guns to town hall meetings run by Democrats and so on and so on. What a bunch of pussies. What a bunch of pussies. You talk all this shit about guns, and the minute there's a shooting, you're whining that you're victims. And then some of them, oh, if we were allowed to carry guns in Congress, you bitch asses carried guns, someone would just take them from you. Shut up. You know, I'm so tired of these fucking cowards and their bullshit bravery. You see them when they open carry. Where do they open carry their guns? In suburban supermarkets where it's safe. You're in Washington, D.C. You want to prove how badass you are with open carry? There's some black neighborhoods around. Hell, go up to Baltimore and look for Omar. Look for Omar and tell him about your open carry, you punk asses. This is so stupid. And it bit you in the ass. You're up for legalizing every gun. You don't want any regulations to carry guns. And some guy came in with a gun and shot you. And guess what? This ain't going to be the last one because you're pushing people too far. This Congress doesn't give a shit about you. If you're a working class person, if you're a poor person, if you are not in the 1%, and I'm going to get to the 1% later because that's where I intended to start. This Congress says, fuck you, fuck your health care, fuck your retirement, Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that might help you is considered an entitlement program, and they hate it. So I don't think this is going to be the last time somebody snaps. It's sad for the congressional police and security people because they're just doing their jobs. But this Congress is full of horrible, hateful people, and you push people so far, and this is the shit that happens. Now, I want to talk about outrage. A Muslim girl, a 17-year-old Muslim girl, was on her way home from her mosque, okay, from her prayers in Virginia, and she was killed. That's right. She was killed. Don't hear any outrage. So this girl, let me see, I'm trying to find her name. We are definitely going to give her a name. Nabra Hassanin was coming home from Muslim prayers with her friends in the pre-dawn hours in Herndon, Virginia. There was some kind of dispute with a man, Darwin Martinez Torres, 22-year-old guy out of Virginia. He assaulted the girl. Her friends scattered. The girl disappeared. Her body was found 11 hours later in a man-made pond. Mr. Torres was charged with murder, but not a hate crime. No. Why? How could you make this a hate crime when someone attacks young Muslim girls on the way home from a mosque? You know, it didn't have anything to do with hate. He just attacked them because, you know, they fucking exist. That's why. That's why. Now, I don't hear any outrage, by the way. Not hearing any outrage from the right about anything about this. Now, listen. The police officer who shot Philando Castile in Minnesota, Officer Yanez, acquitted. There's not even news here. There's not even news here. Okay. Another officer acquitted. Let me tell you something. I Googled officer acquitted to get the names right in this particular case. And when I Googled it, you know how the list comes up? The list came up. Officer acquitted in Minnesota. Officer acquitted in Tulsa. Officer acquitted in New York. Officer acquitted in North Carolina. It was just a whole list of Google results for officers acquitted. Just type. I think I got to the Q when that came up. So we know this story. We've seen the video. Philando Castile was in his car, got pulled over for being black in a white neighborhood. Oh, I'm sorry. Got pulled over for appearing similar to a suspect. And when he was pulled over, he said to the cop, "I have a license to carry a weapon. There is a weapon in the car." The cop said, "I want to see your license and registration." He reached for his license and registration. Cop opened fire. 7 bullets killed him in the car. One of the bullets went through his seat. Fortunately, it didn't hit his daughter in the back seat. His girlfriend started videotaping the postponement of the aftermath of the shooting. And it's horrible. But the cop said the magic words. He feared for his life. Yeah, because you would fear for your life. Now, you're standing outside of a car. You're holding a gun on someone. That person tells you they have a weapon, tells you the weapon's in the car, so you'd know about it. You tell them to get their license. They reach for their license, and you open fire. At what point were you scared for your life? What was he going to do? Was he that quick that he was going to get the gun and shoot you somehow? If he had intended to shoot you, would he tell you he had a gun? No, of course not. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. And here we go again. And you know something? Black Lives Matter. There were protests, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. From now on, I said I was on the Young Turks Friday. And as painful and shitty as this is, and you remember this when you talk about how bad, how horrible an American Colin Kaepernick is to point this out. Oh, right. You know what? That could have easily been Colin Kaepernick get shot. Maybe that's why he pointed it out. Maybe because I've had a cop point a gun at me. I don't think that's an unusual experience as a black man, particularly if you're a large black man. I don't think it's unusual at all. I think it's business as usual, and I'm lucky that I never got shot. And you talk about complying. Well, Mr. Castile complied. He absolutely complied. So, you know, he didn't jump out the car at him. He didn't grab him. He didn't go for his gun. He complied, and he was still murdered, and it's still an acquittal because, you know, he feared for his life. That's the only bullshit excuse you need. I'm sorry. I told you I was going to try to keep this podcast lighter and go in a different way, but this is the world we're living in. So, okay. Shit. I'm going to move on. I'm going to stop on this. And, I don't know if we're going to have fun. I don't know if you enjoyed it, but I damn sure did. So Jeff Sessions appeared in front of Congress, in front of the Senate for his hearing, and he ran into a storm by the name of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a senator from California. More importantly, she's a black woman. And you know, old Beauregard, yes, his name, his middle name is Beauregard. Old Beauregard Sessions wasn't ready for a black woman asking tough questions, because when you know where he's from, they don't talk back. They know their place. Well, apparently Kamala Harris didn't get the memo, because she started asking this asshole questions, and he was like, the questions are coming at me too fast. I can't remember. I don't recall. I didn't. She tore his ass apart, and good for her. And what happened in the aftermath? Well, besides the other white male senators trying to protect Sessions from these questions, she was described as hysterical. She was hysterical because she was asking questions and taking him apart. So Sessions' thing, he kept saying that he could refuse to answer the questions about Trump and about Russia because there was some kind of privileged information between the president and him. So Kamala Harris started pressing him on it. She said, you know, regarding his policy that allowed him to refuse to answer questions about conversations with the president, she said, is the policy in writing somewhere? He said, I think so. She's like, so did you not consult it before you came before this committee, knowing we'd ask questions about it? And he's like, well, we talked about it. But she's like, did you ask that it be shown to you? Well, the policy is based. So she's like, sir, I'm not asking about the principle. I'm asking that when you knew that you would be asked these questions and you would rely on that policy, did you not ask your staff to show you the policy that would be the basis for refusing to answer the majority of questions that have been asked for you? And this is when it started with Now, he's a lawyer. He's the attorney general. You've watched lawyers on TV. Lawyers know to look up a legal precedent. If you're going to cite a legal precedent, you look it up and you have it there. And you say, you know, according to law, page, chapter, whatever. And she, bam, Kamala Harris, a force to be reckoned with. I love this woman. I'm proud of this woman. This woman makes me one more reason that I am proud to be from the People's Republic of California. Call us what you want. That's our senator. Okay. Oh, and Mueller. Mueller, special investigative prosecutor, whatever you want to call him, special counsel Mueller got his foot in his ass because he straight up said, yes, Mr. Trump, I'm investigating you for obstruction of justice. And Pence ran out and hired a lawyer. Man, everyone, yeah, they're lowering unemployment for lawyers in Washington, D.C. Everybody's lawyered up. If you know Trump, your ass is lawyered up. Then some bitches are lawyered up. This is like the last four episodes of The Wire. Your ass better be lawyered up. Fuck around. I love it. I love it. Now, I'm going to get to the story that I had initially wanted to go with on this. So, we talk about money and we talk about the 1%. Well, according to the Economic Policy Institute report, okay, CNBC rounded up the annual income required to be in the top 1% of the 25 largest cities. Now, very interesting. So you're in the 1%, which means, you know, you're doing all right. How much does it cost to be in the 1%? Now, I'm not saying if you're in the 1%, you're necessarily Republican. You might not or necessarily be an asshole who doesn't care about anyone who has less than you. Or any of the other, I'm not applying any of the stereotypes to the 1%, okay? I'm just saying this is how much it costs to be in the 1%. You live in El Paso, Texas, it's going to cost you $248,000 a year. That's the income you need, $248,000 a year. Check your pay stub. Check your pay stub. Are you in the 1%? Maybe you're close. Maybe you need to move to El Paso. Some of these things surprise me. Columbus, Ohio, this one kind of surprises me. Being a 1% in Columbus, Ohio, you need to make $379,250 a year. I think LeBron kind of screwed up the scale on that one. Phoenix, Arizona, Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, that area of Arizona, you need to make $379,321. So if you're in the 1% in Columbus, Ohio, okay, and if you can pull off making another $71, you can move to Phoenix and be in the 1%. San Antonio, 1%, $379,336. Okay, all right. So $379,380 gets you into 1% in some decent places. Memphis, Tennessee, $380,000 puts you into 1%. Jacksonville, Florida, $393,000. If anyone told me that the 1% in Jacksonville, Florida had more money than the 1% in Phoenix and Scottsdale, I wouldn't have believed them. But there it is. Detroit, Michigan. The D is making a comeback. You want to be in the 1% in Detroit? You got to make $393,639. Indianapolis. Wow, this is shocking to me. It costs $405,000 to be in the 1% in Indianapolis. I've been in Indianapolis. I haven't seen where this money's hiding. Charlotte, North Carolina. Great. One of the new cities. It's growing, blah, blah, blah. Want to be in the 1% in Charlotte? Going to have to do pretty good because it costs $434,000 to be in that 1%. Nashville, Tennessee, another southern city. People are moving there. It's growing, booming, bah, bah, bah. To be in the 1%, $441,000. Now, mind you, this is the minimum to get into the 1%. The average income of the 1% is always much higher. So, like, for example, in Tennessee, where minimum is $441,000. The average 1%er makes $1 million. Okay, San Diego, minimum to get into the 1%, the minimum, $468,000. Sounds about right. Can't afford to be in the 1% in L.A., so head south. Philly, $489,000. Not sure if I'd take my $489,000 and live in Philly rather than San Diego. I like the sun. Dallas, you got oil money? All right, family got oil money? Someone got oil money? You want to be in the 1% in Dallas? $502,229. If you can pull another $5,000, you can be in the 1% in Denver, Colorado. $507,000. Now, of the major cities, this one kind of surprised me. I live in L.A. I love L.A. We're at the bottom of the majors, okay? In L.A., to be in the 1%, and by the way, I am not in the 1%, but I wish I was. It cost an income of $513,715. But the average annual income of the 1% is $1,455,000, which is almost three times as much as the minimum. So what I see is in the big cities, the average is way more than the minimum. Okay. Chicago. $524,000 gets you into the club. $1.38 million is the average. Austin, Texas. Didn't know it would cost more to live in Austin to hit the 1% in Austin than it does in L.A., but it does. $543,000 to make the 1% in Austin. Seattle. Okay, you good with computers? Got some Microsoft stock? Well, you better, because if you want to be in the 1% in Seattle, it's $547,231. Washington, D.C., very easy to join the 1%. Open your hand, lobbyists fill it. To get into the 1% in D.C. is $575,237. Houston, whoa, Houston costs more than Dallas? I guess it does, because if you want to be in the 1% in Houston, it takes $606,000. And New York, to be in the 1% in New York, $672,795. That's considerably more than being in the 1% in L.A. Because I picked the right city to not be in the 1% in. Oh, by the way, average annual income in New York of the 1%, we've crossed the barrier, $2,156,000. Boston, up in Boston. You want to join the 1% in Boston? How about this? $701,000 to get into 1%. San Francisco. You want to get into 1% in San Francisco? You better make $785,946, which will qualify you to rent a two-bedroom apartment. San Jose. Okay. Hey, kids, you better study computers. You better get in Silicon Valley because the number one, San Jose, you want to be in the 1% in San Jose? A minimum of $964,000 $238. That's the minimum. The average income of the 1% in San Jose, Sunnyvale, which basically is Silicon Valley, $2,732,379, or minimum wage in the NBA. So that's it. Go to school or be a hell of an athletic tall person, one or the other. That interest, I find that fascinating. Again, the cities, I wouldn't have expected some of the things here. Definitely wouldn't have expected like Austin to be more than LA. But I guess it's because Austin is a booming city. Austin has a whole tech thing going on. Oh, and University of Texas is there, and those football players don't come cheap. Very interesting. Very cool. I like that list. Not one on reading lists all the time, but that was a list I liked. And finally, and you know, there's a bunch of other crap I could go into. I like this little story only because, you know, I'm a Clipper fan. So Austin Rivers told TMZ Sports that he would decline an invite to the White House to be honored by Donald Trump in the event the Clippers won an NBA title. Well, Austin, I wish that was a serious concern. I wish we were really worried about the Clippers winning an NBA title. But as a Clipper fan, I'm going to say, relax. You don't have to worry about that one for a while. They're saying that Golden State's not going to go. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen there. They'll be called un-American and blah, 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 blah. You know, probably violent left wing or some other whiny shit from the right. And you know, they just don't want to visit a shitty person. And speaking of a shitty person, Sunday was Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you got the love and that you deserve and something more than a bad tie. And I will say, number one tweet on Father's Day, you know, Donald Trump went out of his way with his creativity and he tweeted Happy Father's Day. And a guy named Rob Dobby responded, Happy Father's Day. This is how he responded to Donald Trump. Happy Father's Day to the man with 5 kids from 3 wives. And the response, the real Donald Trump has blocked you. Congratulations, Mr. Dobby. You got the best Father's Day gift any man could hope for. You no longer have to listen to Donald Trump's bullshit on Twitter. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry it was so dark at the start of this podcast, but this is a society we're living in, and it's horrible that people are getting killed, and there's no accountability when they're killed by the police who are, they're supposed to be protecting them and trusting them. And again, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. It's a rough start, but it was a great end. And are you in the 1%? Does the 1% listen to me? Hopefully. I think some of you might be. And congratulations to you if you made it. And I hope you're not one of the evil 1%. So I am heading to Tampa, okay? I'll be at Side Splitters, a club I love in Tampa, Florida, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Can't wait to get down there. You can also catch me this coming weekend once again on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Who's paying attention? You guys are. And I appreciate it. Thank you.